Hello, and welcome back to Oh My Darlin'. It's your girl, Dee Dee, Double D, Dar Dar, D Money. It is Darlin' here, back at it again with another episode. This episode is going to be intense because it's about a topic that is not popular, okay? It's popular because we are experiencing it more in 2020 than we ever have in previous years. And I think it makes people so uncomfortable. So we're going to debunk this entire philosophy, this entire ideal, really and truly, of cancel culture. So that's the main topic of today. We're going to talk a little bit about what it is, about how it's affecting our lives, how it's affecting our culture, because that's in essence what it is. It's cancel culture. It's this narrative, this idea, this mentality that we have created due to social media and due to being outspoken, which is wonderful. Social media is wonderful, but pairing them together has created this negative culture that I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And then, of course, our second topic of today is going to be our second Georgia natural wonder, which is the Okefenokee Swamp. So stay tuned for all of that wonderful information. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling Davis, you were listening to my podcast, oh, my darling Davis. Okay, so let's just hop right in. Let's just get right to it. I've tried to do as much research as possible into this ideal, this history, this experience that I know we're all having, which is called cancel culture. And essentially, some definitions I found online are that when you're withdrawing your support of something, of a person, of a company, of an organization, it's like it's ended, it's voided. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced this, where not even experienced it, we see it on a day-to-day basis. Just a few examples of some people that have been canceled in 2019 and 2020. People like Scarlett Johansson, famous for being the Black Widow on Marvel. She's been an amazing actress. I mean, nominated for so many different types of awards, yet she was almost canceled because she was going to portray a transgender in a movie. We even see Kevin Hart, who had a history of homophobic tweets in general. So those are a couple people in 2019. Let's talk about some people in 2020. Jeffree Star is a huge one that is being somewhat canceled at this time. Shane Dawson, even J.K. Rowling. I mean, J.K. Rowling, the amazing writer for Harry Potter, she's had some transphobic types of tweets. And so she has been canceled by her writers. She's being canceled by just a lot of the public who don't even want her to have anything to do with Harry Potter anymore. And so these are just a few examples. We're going to get into it here in a minute, but these people we have seen, what happens is we dig up these tweets, these videos, these posts from like 2012, 2008, 2005, whatever the case may be. We dig up these tweets, we dig up these videos, these posts, and then we use it against them. And we essentially say, look at J.K. Rowling. She said X, Y, and Z. Therefore, in today's society, she deserves to be canceled. And we're saying, look, we don't want to buy your products. We don't want to buy your brand. We don't want to buy into you. And therefore, we're not going to. So with this cancel culture, we really have seen it kind of rise with the Me Too movement. And when the Me Too movement was going on, it started in 2006 when Tarana Burke, she pretty much coined the phrase Me Too. She was a survivor of sexual assault, and she really wanted to do something, start this movement so that people who had been sexually assaulted or even a victim of sexual violence could like relate to and utilize a phrase, you know, for her movement. And then it really started in 2017 when we had Ashley Judd accuse Harvey Weinstein of pretty much sexual assault, of rape. And then you heard more and more people, like actress Alyssa Milano. Then you had people going out and you know, targeting Kevin Spacey. We had Republican senators targeted. We even had people like James Franco, and even Marvel's like CEO, the creator of Marvel Comics, Stan Lee. He was also, you know, accused. A lot of people accused Bill Cosby. That's when we bring in the R. Kelly in 2018. Harvey Weinstein, you know, turns himself in. It's kind of mind-blowing to even realize that these things happened almost 3 years ago. But this is really kind of when it started to take over the internet, because we saw people, celebrities, not being held accountable for their actions, for their past, for their history, which were illegal misconducts. We saw them pretty much skating by, you know, and getting off. And that's when in 2019, R. Kelly was charged with 10 counts of aggravated assault. Then we had that whole documentary. Now people are going after Ellen DeGeneres. It has just been crazy. But I'm not going to get into all the history because it is a lot. It is a lot to truly try to piece together. And the Chicago Tribune has a great article that they actually published it on July 2nd. If you want to go take a look at that, you can see an entire timeline of events for this Me Too movement. But I just bring that into play because that really, in our history and the kind of culture for this cancel culture, that's where it starts. Its roots began in Me Too movements because we saw what was happening as people. And we called it out on the internet. We called it out on Twitter. We called it out on Instagram, on Facebook, and even to the point that change was made. So here's where everything kind of gets crazy to me. Because cancel culture, in its origins, is good, right? To me, cancel culture has a great foundation. Its ideals, its mentality is good. Because if I don't agree with something you say, if I don't agree with something that you believe, and I will admit to this, I have done this. If I am just disturbed or don't want to see what other people like have to say, why should I follow them? Why should I, you know, actively put myself on Instagram following somebody that I don't agree with? So what have I done? In my own time, I just unfollow them. I just unfriend them because social media has been around a long time, around 2000s, right? It's when it really started to take off. And I think it's so important to realize that some of my friends have been on Facebook with me and I've been friends with them for like 10 years. Can you imagine how much change, how many ideals that we've like formulated and like really truly created for ourselves, and how differing they can be from other people? So why can't I unfriend them? Why can't I, you know, not follow them on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter? I don't. If I don't like what somebody has to say and it's a repetitive type of thing, I don't speak out against them. I don't say, I don't like this. I don't, you know, I don't actively communicate to that person, you're wrong. I don't appreciate your values. Blah, blah, blah. I just unfollow them. I just unfriend them. I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I have to do it. So that to me, in essence, is what cancel culture is. It's about a group of people, a larger group of people, of individuals like myself, who see people take R. Kelly, for example, and say, I am not going to support you. I'm going to withdraw my support from you. I'm going to cancel you from my support, right? I'm going to cancel you and not support you by not purchasing your music, by not listening to your albums, by not following you on Instagram, by not buying your merch. That to me is what cancel culture was. It was intended to do. But the problem has arisen that we are not allowing the justice system to do its job, which is to prove without a reasonable doubt that they are guilty. We are innocent until proven guilty. But what cancel culture has created is a culture where we say you're guilty because somebody spoke out against you, because somebody has come forward. You're guilty. Cancel. Cancel, cancel, cancel. Hit the button. Cancel you, cancel you, cancel you. When in reality, maybe they are innocent. That's a high maybe. Okay, don't get upset. But it's a high maybe. And at that point, they're innocent until proven guilty. My other problem with cancel culture is that it's this culture now that we've created where people feel the need to say, well, if you're not supporting it, you deserve to be canceled, right? And I saw this a lot when the Black Lives Matter police brutality was coming up again. This second round to me, like looking from a very non-biased perspective, this next generation, this next round of Black Lives Matter rioting and protest, right? But with this, I remember when they did Blackout Tuesday, and I felt, as somebody who wants to speak out, you know, against police brutality, wants to speak out and express their own opinions, I truly felt like if I didn't post something as a white female, then I was not doing my part. If I didn't go and protest, I was going to be canceled. And I even had friends that would post on their timelines, my Caucasian friends who are not supporting, y'all should be ashamed, like things like that. And that's where cancel culture has a problem. That's where we have an issue with this entire type of withdrawing of support. Because cancel culture shouldn't be, I don't like R. Kelly, you shouldn't either. I don't like R. Kelly, therefore Spotify shouldn't like R. Kelly. I don't like this company, therefore nobody should like this company. And that is the most outlandish idea that cancel culture has created. It's our freedom. It's our right to purchase what we want, being able to speak out against what we don't agree with, but also not be canceled over it. I mean, that's what America was founded on, is speaking out against these, you know, awful indecencies, police brutality, speaking out for gay rights, speaking out for, you know, arming yourself with guns, if you'd like, whatever the case may be. Coming again from a non-biased perspective, it's come to the point with cancel culture that people are making you feel bad for not supporting something, for not canceling something. And that's where I draw the line, because cancel culture for me should be my choice to cancel something, to not support something, to not like something. But I shouldn't be made to feel that I am a waste of space, that I am not a supporter, that I am or not a philanthropist, whatever it is, because I don't speak out on social media, because I still listen to certain types of music. That's where I draw the line, because that's when we know cancel culture has gone too far. And it has. It has gone too far. I did a poll on my Instagram, and I just asked my followers, my friends, a couple questions. The first one being, should we support artists, actors, or comedians who have committed crimes? In the responses, essentially, we had about, 42% voted yes, 58% voted no, right? So the next one is that, do you think cancel culture is toxic? With that one, we got a resounding almost 99% of my friends and followers said that cancel culture is toxic. And then my last question is that, should people be canceled based on tweets or comments from years ago? I got a resounding, at least 5 to 10 years ago, 100% of my followers, my friends said no, right? Because that's just how they feel. That's their opinion. And a couple of people responded to my Instagram. They said, this is going to be a great topic. This is so prevalent in our society today, as well as the fact that it's just, it's becoming this toxic place. Cancel culture was born in this way of calling out people for their indecency and then letting the justice system do its process, like do its thing, because it will find people guilty, right? I understand our justice process, our government is not perfect. People walk every single day that should not have ever had the opportunity for that, right? Not everything is going to be perfect, but cancel culture is not a judge, a jury, an executioner. That's what our government is for. And I think that is the entire wrongness of cancel culture. And it's just this that experience, that last thing of the Black Lives Matter movement and everybody posting that little black square on their timeline. And I feel like one day it will judge people for not posting. But you have no right to tell me that I am not a supporter, that I am backwards, low, you know, life citizen who's got no morals, no values, if you still support this celebrity, if you still support X, Y, and Z. That's where I just can't take it anymore. And we're seeing this in our system. We're seeing people speak out again against it. For example, Ricky Gervais, who is The Office UK, the main character, he actually this past month in July, on July 14th, he talked about how cancel culture has started becoming this fascist movement. Yes, you heard that right. He said, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. He even had, like, he hosted one of the main network award shows and really talked about it, how that Hollywood has become woke. You're literally having to walk on eggshells. He said, social media amplifies everything. If you're mildly left-wing on Twitter, you're suddenly Trotsky. If you're mildly conservative, you're Hitler. And if you're a centrist and you look at both arguments, you're a coward and they both hate you. And I literally relate to this 1,000%. Because I wouldn't say I'm very left-wing. I wouldn't say I'm very right-wing. I would say I'm right in the middle. And because I'm in the middle, both sides think I'm a coward and they hate me. And I saw this on that Black Tuesday from my friends, from people that I thought were I was very close with. And I felt literally targeted because they're putting it out towards all their followers. I felt like it was a target towards me and towards other people that were not speaking out against it because they just didn't want to post it on social media. What type of change does that even actually generate? Right? I mean, why don't you go out and do something instead of just posting it on social media? To me, making a little black square on your screen is not going to make a difference, right? I mean, justice is not found on the internet, right? It's found through our government. And I think another thing with this whole new cancel culture is that we control the major companies, or at least the cancel culture, mass faceless mob mentality they control these companies, essentially, from a marketing stance. Now, companies are afraid because they want to be politically correct. And I talked about this already with Song of the South at Disney World, that they, I think, essentially changed the theming of Splash Mountain to Tiana because of this entire movement. I mean, that's awesome. It's great to see change and trying to get rid of these stereotypes and this kind of comedy or even just media portrayal, a very negatively stereotypical African Americans, Native Americans, these small ethnic groups that it's just offensive, right? These stereotypes are offensive and they confine people, and that needs to change. But even as Ricky, the guy from the UK's office, he even said that the UK office, the office, would not be a thing in today's society. And I completely agree with him. When I first watched The Office, I could not believe my eyes. I thought this show is racist. This show has awful, just misogynistic views of women. It shows like the abuse. Even Pam kind of deals with Roy's type of, not physical abuse, but just verbal abuse. It's just, those things would not have happened in 2020. I agree with him wholeheartedly. Because when I watched it, I was offended. I was like, wow, people love this? And I heard people when I said, is that how this entire season's going to be? Is this how this show is going to be? Like this? And they're like, yeah, it's just The Office. Like, yeah, don't worry about it. That's just how The Office is. But that's not how it should be, right? Why are we not canceling The Office? It's got tons of racial stereotypes and you know, negative types of things, but it's in a comedic way, so it's okay. No, that shouldn't be the case, right? That shouldn't be the thing. And so companies, organizations, movies are now so scared because they want to be politically correct. Take actors, for example. Scarlett Johansson, again, you know, another good example of her. She played character from this very Japanese type of movie, and people just were so mad about it. And I understand that. I understand that we should be giving actors from other ethnic backgrounds a chance to do that. Take Avatar, The Last Airbender. Love that show. But when they made it a movie, they pretty much made it whitewashed. They put all white actors in it. When it's so obvious that it was based on like Asian cultures. It's so obvious. So that was, it's offensive, right? But at what point do we say that actors' jobs are literally to portray other characters? Okay, when do we say that this is not okay or this is okay? Because that's an entire actor's job, is to portray a character, is to portray someone on a fictional screen, in a fictional world. I get we need to create characters like Crazy Rich Asians, an amazing movie that had an entire cast of Asians that really broke the internet, like broke the world. Yes, that can be done. That can be achieved. We don't just have to use Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, you know, all the white good actors. We can use people that, you know, are other ethnic backgrounds. And I know I'm going on a rant here. And I get that side of it. But at what point do we say an actor's job is to literally act? This is their life. They can't just say they're not going to play a certain character because that's not who they are. That's their entire job. You're literally telling cast directors and major networks not to hire someone because of what? Because that's their job, is to be a character for a TV show or be a character for your movie. And again, this is what cancel culture has become toxic, is that we have the cancel culture group has infected these organizations, Netflix, Disney, major companies like Nike. I understand we always want to please our audience. And as a marketing major, marketing person, minded person, I understand the guest, the client is right above all. But we shouldn't be always walking on eggshells, trying to please this cancel culture mentality. Cancel culture should be something where we can cancel or not support somebody if we don't want to. But some people are not morally conscious. They're just not. We cannot force our own ideas on other people. At some point, you got to state your purpose, state your opinion, and if people don't agree with you, let it roll off your back. Don't try to shove it down other people's throat. And I think that's the biggest issue that I see with cancel culture, is that it's taken in another step, that it's becoming the judge, the jury, and the executioner, and it's forcing its ideas on other people. It's important to have a culture of morally conscious people, a new generation of morally conscious young adults who know that their actions on social media, their words will affect them for a long time to come. I mean, I've seen it even in my hometown, but that has been my motto since I was in high school, is that social media will stay with you for the rest of your life, the rest of your life. Take Jake Fromm, for example, the words that he said in a text to somebody, you know, almost ruined his new NFL starting career, like almost ruined him. And you have to take that into consideration, that social media, texting, even calling somebody can be recorded and used against you. So, I mean, my biggest, you know, bit of advice is obviously watch what you put on social media. And of course, to learn everything you can about everything. And I know that sounds so stupid, but this young generation has all this plethora of information at their fingertips. Why shouldn't they, you know, formulate their opinions and be able to speak them eloquently? I actually have some volleyball girls, freshmen, that I follow on social media because I coach them for a little bit at Veterans, and they're already posting things, you know, speaking out against injustices. And I'm thinking, okay, claps for you, girl. Like, okay, thank you for speaking your mind. Like, all right. And that's okay. I think that's what's okay with cancel culture is you can speak how you feel. You can put on social media how you, what you want and portray it to other people and, you know, express your opinions. But you don't have to, you know, shove it down my throat, if that makes sense. So I really applaud this next generation for already knowing how they feel and expressing themselves on social media. So on this episode of Oh My Darlin', for the Georgia On My Mind segment, I thought about talking about the Okefenokee Swamp because that's the next one on our list. But I really thought it'd be more appropriate to truly talk about somebody who has been an inspiration for change, for just this entire political movement towards the equality of African Americans in America and, you know, African Americans in general, which is Representative John Lewis, who passed away, I think, about a week ago. And we are having the memorial for him in Atlanta at this moment. When I'm recording this podcast, he is being honored by Obama, so many different celebrities, so many different, you know, political figures, and rightfully so. I mean, this man is just an absolute legend. History, just one of the most historical movements in our nation's history, which is the Civil Rights Movement, he was a part of. I mean, he wanted to be a preacher at a young age. And although he lived in Troy or was born in Troy, Alabama, he's not truly from Georgia. He served Georgia from 1987 on the United States House of Representatives from 1987 until 2020. What's amazing to me is that he was able to be such an influence in this movement. He actually first heard Martin Luther King speak on the radio in 1955. Then he followed the Montgomery boycott. And at 15, he preached his first public sermon. And it reminds me so much of my grandmother because she actually preached her sermon, first sermon, when she was 14, and she traveled around with like a evangelical type of group that traveled the state of Texas, you know, obviously to encourage Christianity in Texas. But he preached at 15 and then met Rosa Parks when he was 17 years old, then followed by meeting Martin Luther King at 18. He then went on to study. He graduated from the American Baptist Theological Seminary in Nashville, Tennessee, and was ordained as a Baptist minister. Then he participated in the Nashville student movement, the Freedom Rides. I mean, it's just amazing. He met with President John F. Kennedy after the March on Washington, for Jobs of Freedom in 1963. I mean, it's just amazing. He was one of the original Freedom Riders, one of the 13 original Freedom Riders that were determined to ride from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans in an integrated fashion. I mean, this man was a champion for civil rights, right? I mean, there's so many things that he did. I could take an entire podcast to talk about it, but that's what we're seeing at the memorial for him in Atlanta, is a lot of people coming out and talking about how influential he was.
Obama's performing his eulogy today. He even said, America was built by John Lewis's. He, as much as anyone in our history, brought this country a little closer to our highest ideals. And someday, when we do finish that long journey towards freedom, and when we do form a more perfect union, John Lewis will be a founding father of that fuller, fairer, better America.
Then he served for Jimmy Carter, and then finally he was elected into the U.S. House of Representatives in 1987. Just, I mean, wow. He was reelected 16 times, and even, this is one thing I kind of regret. My mom and I, when we were on the Alzheimer's Association kind of congressional team, we went up to the Capitol many times to advocate for Alzheimer's and new legislation that was coming through. And one time we were meeting with these people that were from the Atlanta area, and you know, you go and you want to meet with people from your county, your district. And it was kind of funny because we met with Shaw Blackman so many times that he would see us and just like hug us and be so nice. So that's the whole point, is to really get connected with the you know, people that are in going to make change for your county and for your state. And we had this, long story short, we had this group of people from Atlanta who said, yeah, we're going to meet with John Lewis. We have a meeting with him later today. And unfortunately, my mom and I just had to leave. We had to go home. I don't even know what it was, just due to like maybe weather or due to other complications or other commitments I had made. But I really wish that I had been able to meet with them. Of course, has always pressed for legislation that's going to help people in Georgia and the United States in general. It's just astronomical what he's been able to accomplish as a politician that, you know, has really had a career in politics. And just to end this entire segment about John Lewis with this quote that he said, when people tell me nothing has changed, I say, come walk in my shoes and I will show you change. And if that doesn't inspire you to get up out of bed during this COVID and truly make a change in your heart, make a change for whatever you believe in, the time is now. Do that. Be that change that you want to see in the world. And that's what I'll say to wrap up this whole segment. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have for this episode. Again, I'm sorry that I've kind of been absent on talking about some opinions. It's just been crazy at work and I've kind of been lazy. I don't know. COVID's really taken a toll on me. Working from home has been so nice and I'm so thankful to have a job during this time. But it's been something just because I can get up and roll out of bed in my pajamas and answer the phones and talk to people. So it's interesting life, but we're living it. Next thing I really want to do is go to Disney World. I've been talking to my parents about it. I want to go to Disney so badly because their lines are so short and nobody's there. And I just want to go to Disney when no one's there, right? Said everybody ever. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you have learned something on this episode to formulate your own opinions really about cancel culture, to formulate your own ideals. And I just hope that you, at the end of the day, have learned something. And if not, if you don't, you know, like my opinions, take it like a grain of salt or a grain of sand, however that saying goes. I never know. But anyway, give me a follow on Instagram. Again, it's ohmydarlin on Instagram. Personal is Darlin J. Davis. Give me a shout out. Give me a follow. I'd love to see, you know, your ideas and what you think. You know, I will be doing more polls on my Instagram and more kind of targeted towards y'all's opinion and what we can learn from each other. I think that's just so important. And yeah, thank you again so much for listening if you've made it this far. And hopefully I'll have another episode out next week. Y'all have a wonderful day.